James, welcome again to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you, Vahe.
James, this program is about identity. And before we start, what is identity?
Well, in academia, amongst anthropologists and sociologists, they have a number of different attempts to define what identity is. Broadly speaking, identity involves the way people see their place in the world in reference to other people. So in one level, your identity is defined by against other people as who you are not. So you see other people as being different from you, but at the same time also defined by similarities that you have with other people. It's something that emerges from a very early age where different aspects of identity, such as gender, nationality, ethnicity, class, tribal group in some instances, racial group in some instances, are defined, and a religious identity emerges and sectarian identity. And it's usually in reference to those around you. So those that you build connection to, of course, family is where it starts, and those that you define yourself as being different from. That's essentially how it happens. And of course, in an official level, national identity is the most important aspect in modern societies when you're traveling between countries, and it's defined by things such as passports, etc. The interesting aspect is very often national identity is not that important for people, even though they might ascribe to it, but also they have to keep in mind that there are different identities that they hold. And really, it depends on circumstance and position what identity people emphasize. So when someone is with a group of people of the opposite gender, they're more strongly aware of what their gender is, for example. Similarly, if you're at a social gathering of lawyers and you're not a lawyer, then that is an aspect of your identity. And the same is true with ethnic and linguistic groups, that you see yourself as being either alike or different from people. And sometimes you might see yourself as different, but at the same time recognize a bonding similarity in religion or something else. So essentially, identity is a series of components, sometimes described as the genes of the soul. And people, the important aspect of it is that even though we all have these multiple identities that at different times we emphasize or distance ourselves from, for all of us, we see these aspects as firmly fixed, as unchangeable. In reality, they can be quite fluid and they can change. A perfect example would be, say, a man from Sarajevo. I know that there's a philosopher, a French philosopher, a Lebanese-French philosopher, Amin Maalouf, who gives this example of a man he knew from Sarajevo who in the 80s saw himself as a Yugoslavian, in the 90s saw himself as a Bosnian, and by the 2000s he was seeing himself more as a Muslim or a European Muslim. So it can change over time, but the important thing is within people's mind, this stays the same.
And identity need to have a homeland? So you have gypsies, aborigines in Australia, nomads, you know, travel from one place to the other.
Generally speaking, there is a geographic component to all identity. With gypsy people, I'm not too familiar with what their ideas are of their identity. I know in Ireland they are essentially Irish, but I know that in other countries, such as England and European countries, they have their origin in India, although they've been living in Europe for more than 1,000 years. However, with Aboriginal people, they do have a concept of homeland, which is the territory they recognise as theirs. Even if they moved around from summer camp to winter camp, even if they moved with the seasons, and even if their land crossed the land of others, they had a very clear idea of what was their land, and it was sacralized in their own religious beliefs. And to the point where, quite interestingly and a little bit controversially, sometimes people argue that Aboriginal communities in the major cities are essentially a diaspora because they maintain a link with an Indigenous homeland or an idea of where they come from or an ethnic group within Aboriginality, but they live outside of that. And they do maintain links with other Aboriginal people, of course, because in the colonial era, the term Aboriginal was invented to describe all people living in the continent at the time. The other aspect about Indigenous identity that's interesting is that from the missionary period, they started to be described as nations. And this was defined in a religious sense, not in the way we think of nations as different countries with different states, But the idea is, the religious idea of a nation is a group of people who have common descent from a common ancestor. Now, the classic example is the nation of Israel. In the Bible, the Israelites all claim descent from the one person named Israel, or Jacob. So they took their name from that one man. The Armenians are the same. They call themselves Hai after their ancestor Haik, and they call their country Hayastan. Now, for the missionaries, when they noticed that different tribal groups of Aboriginal people had similar words or their languages related, they described these groups of tribes as a nation. So often you hear in Melbourne, people, when they acknowledge the traditional owners of Melbourne, they say the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. This comes from the word for yes in the Wurundjeri language and related languages. The missionaries decided that they were all descended from the same ancestor because they had the word Kulin for yes, or variations of it. So there is always a strong geographic component to identity. Even in societies which move around, their relationship with the land that they move around on is very important. And it is how they define themselves. And within, I guess, Roma and Gypsy communities in Europe, the differences between them and those in other countries, Romania, Hungary, Czech Republic, are still important to them because the national identity has seeped in, particularly in the communist era.
Can there be a national identity in a multicultural society like Australia?
Yes, there can be a national identity within a country, a multicultural society like Australia. The very idea of multiculturalism, which began to be used here in the 70s, was an attempt to try and be more inclusive, less Anglo-centric, and try to build a national identity for which those that had migrated from non-English-speaking societies, as well as the Aboriginal community, could feel a part of. Now, the issue is, within a national identity, there are many regional identities. In a country like Australia, it's quite interesting that in some states, particularly Queensland, where I come from, and also Western Australia, the regional identity is actually much stronger, or not much stronger, but is stronger in comparison to the national identity. People in Queensland define themselves as Queenslanders first and foremost, and they then say, well, it goes without saying that a Queenslander is also an Australian. So it's not just ethnic background which defines identity in this case. The advantage of identities like Australian identity, which is really ambiguous because it's such a new country, is that it can be more inclusive than those which are defined by a great deal of history. I know that those Iranians that I know who were born in European countries, they tell me that they never have felt like they belong to the society. Mainly, for instance, in countries like Germany, the idea of being a German essentially comes from descent. It's your ancestry. So even if you are a German citizen, if you don't have German ancestry, sometimes national identity and belonging can be problematic. The same is true of many Middle Eastern countries. Well, Iran is a good example because the state has struggled to define what national identity is in a way that's been inclusive for all people. And additionally, when people think of their national identity, they actually are thinking of their ethnic identity. When Iranian Armenians talk about their nationality, they use the word Azg, or nation, and they mean their Armenianness, not their Iranianness. But in Australia, people tend to be a little bit more relaxed about it. It's not a perfect situation, of course, and in recent years we've seen a rise of those who've sought to redefine Australian identity along lines which suit their own agenda, such as along very Anglo-centric lines, people who define it by British history, which excludes probably about a quarter of the population that don't have British descent. They feel that they need to enforce this. And this is, in my feeling, is a result of globalization, wider awareness through the media, through the internet, that nationalities are different. Australians are traveling more. They're becoming more aware of different cultures around the world and different nations and how they work, and they seek to define themselves in relation to that. It's also a result of September 11 and the real questions that came around European and American and Australian identity in relation to what it is not, that came as a result of the terrorist attacks, that you see a rise of these more strong attempts to try and define exactly what an Australian is. But the reality is, A quarter of the population aren't born here, including myself. A large percentage of the population don't necessarily ascribe to an Anglo identity. So it's very difficult to, it would be very wrong, in fact, to take that form of identity and try to enforce it as the true Australian identity. I know that a lot of people complain that in television it's very Anglo-centric. There's a joke, I think it was Nassim Hussain made, that if you wake up in a hospital and all the doctors are white, then you need to get out of there because you're on the set of All Saints, you're not in a real hospital. But still, so there are still, of course, problems. But the multicultural identity has, to some extent, been developed to prevent wider ethnic tension within a multicultural society.
James, in modern times like today, when we talk about Anglo identities, does it include the Irish or just purely the British? Because there was so much tension between, you know, the British and the Irish.
Well, coming as someone from an Irish background, I don't see my identity as Anglo identity. I know there have been attempts to say Anglo-Celtic to be inclusive of Irish and also people who have Highland Scottish and Welsh background. For most people of Irish background, they probably wouldn't even think of the word Anglo as having any connection to them, or they wouldn't care. Though me as an intellectual, I think more deeply about it. The issue for a lot of Irish people was that their ethnic identity in Australia was defined by their religion. Up until the 60s, Australia was a deeply sectarian society where the differences between Catholics and Protestants were as such that certain industries would always be dominated by one or the other, and intermarriage was a very difficult process between the two groups. That's completely faded, and with that, Irish Australians have changed and probably become more essentially Australian than Irish. At the same time, they have been helped by the fact that there has been ongoing migration from Ireland to Australia, which has replenished the institutions and hasn't let up, particularly with the global financial crisis. The Anglo-Celtic identity is a false term as far as I'm concerned, because these are two separate things. There is no such thing as an Anglo-Celt. They're two separate ideas. The same as with Judeo-Christian. Gives a false idea that Judaism and Christianity are somehow alike, when in fact they interpret the same, they might use the same texts, but they interpret them entirely differently. However, it's interesting that the Anglo-Celtic identity has really been a byword for white Australians that is supposed to be inclusive of the large part who are from Britain and from Ireland. However, of course, most people who are from that background are pretty ambiguous towards the word Anglo-Celtic, and most people like myself who are Irish background don't like being lumped in with Anglos.
James, let's go to the Armenian. What's your perception about Armenian identity and Armenian national identity?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I was mentioning earlier, Armenian national identity differs from country to country, but in the terms of Middle Eastern communities, it's an ethnic identity. However, it's quite interesting because it's one of the older, as a national identity, it's one of the older ones. It's because, like the Israelite identity, it's a religious, it has its origins in religion, with the idea of the origin of Haik being the ancestor. But in particular, because the Armenian National Church, which developed over a period of around about 400 years, from about 400 AD until the Catholicos, John of Odsun, who was in the 8th or 9th century, they essentially took on a lot of the responsibilities of developing a national church, one that was defined by language and a very ambiguous idea of what a homeland was, ambiguous in the sense that it had no specific borders, but it was centered in eastern Anatolia, South Caucasus area. They had a concept of it. And in times when the Armenian people had no kingdom or no state to represent them, they relied a lot on that church to continue to define that identity through language and also through exile in diaspora communities. The church essentially became the homeland. Now, in the 19th century, during a period of which is sometimes termed the Armenian Renaissance, of course, it began before that time, but it was really in full flight in Istanbul and Tbilisi in the 19th century, there started to be a real development of Armenian identity, somewhat inspired by European ideas, but also in concert with the modernization of Ottoman and Russian society. So you start seeing, for instance, the development of vernacularization of language. It's the origins of Western Armenian and Eastern Armenian, as opposed to using Grapar. You start to see the lessening of the role of the clergy in defining Armenian identity, but at the same time, Christianity or Armenian Christianity is put forward as the most important aspect. And then you start seeing the development of political groups who claim ownership of national identity, such as the Tashnak Sutyun, the Hunchak, the Ramgavar, and other groups, to be the protectors of Armenian people in diaspora and also calling for the development of a homeland. And this remains strong up until the genocide and after into the 20th century. One of the biggest changes that's happened, and it's happened very slowly, but it happened suddenly at the same time, was the independence of Armenia and the Karabakh War. This again has redefined Armenian identity. In the interviews I've done in Iran, it most commonly comes out as for those who grew up before the independence of Armenia, they had an idea that they had a homeland called Armenia, but it wasn't a geographically defined space. It was, as the church had always defined it, as this area in eastern Anatolia and the South Caucasus that had no borders but was where they came from. The change that Armenia has, independence has had, is that there is a country now called Armenia. There's also a country called Karabakh, which is strongly connected to Armenians as an Armenian country. So this has led them to reevaluate where they situate with Armenia. And of course, there are a lot of differences between higher estancias and diaspora Armenians. But increasingly, you see Armenians from the diaspora developing connections with the Republic of Armenia. Some of them have gone to live there. The vast majority simply go there to visit and be in an Armenian environment. So that's been a major change, because now Armenian national identity, well, it can be a citizenship at the same time as being an ethnicity. And that shows you how Armenian identity, like many identities, is constantly changing. But it still goes to the same essential motifs of, firstly, Armenian language, idea of Armenian religion and Christianity, and the idea of an Armenian homeland, which is tied to broader issues of culture and history that over the centuries Armenians have tied themselves to while continuing to reevaluate and redefine.